Hey guys, listen up. If your idea of skincare is rinsing your face with whatever's left from your shampoo, it really is time to upgrade. I want to tell you about the new men's line from Arrow Acres. It's made for guys who want real results without all the extra ingredients. Their products are clean, simple, and incredibly effective. From tallow balm that actually heals dry skin to hand-poured soaps that leave you smelling fresh and not floral. If you need a bug spray that works and doesn't leave you smelling like chemicals as well, they've got that. They've got lip balm and scrubs that are simple, no nonsense, and they're made with real ingredients that your skin actually wants. So if you're chopping wood, hitting the gym, or if you just want to stop stealing your wife's moisturizer and not telling anybody about it, well then they have your back. You can check out their full men's line by following the link in the show notes or on Instagram at Arrow Acres Homestead. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, welcome back. Today we're going to be talking about weak men and bad behaving wives. Let's go ahead and pray, ask for the Lord's help. Father, we just thank you for this time. We want to be faithful men who guard and keep that which is entrusted to us. We don't want to fall into the sin of Adam with passivity. And for the ladies that may be listening in, wives need to be obedient to you and honoring, respectful of their husbands. And God, help us to be godly husbands, godly wives. And this mistake or sin that I'm going to be talking about helps to avoid these kinds of things. And if this has happened in marriages out there by those listening in, I pray that there would be quick repentance. Lead now, I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Adam is given in the garden, along with Eve, his helper, power, dominion, authority. We see what he did. He dropped the ball. Obviously, he sinned. And instead of defending his wife, he defended his wife's bad behavior in that moment. And instead of stomping on the head of the serpent, instead of fighting to keep that which was entrusted to him, he got behind the leadership of his wife and followed her. This is a problem that has been repeated. And this is a problem in churches down through the history of the church that has been on repeat. It's like a repeat button. And here's the idea. Have we prayed? I can't remember if we've prayed or not, because I've done this. This is take two. Maybe this is a second prayer. Oh yeah, I did just pray. Guys, it all runs together. Goodness. But this is something I've observed over the years, that men have been given power, and a lot of times their weakness in the way they should be strong reveals a twisted and upside down kind of strength. Let me explain. A wife is behaving badly, and the man who's been given power and authority, he's been given position, instead of correcting his wife, will end up defending his wife's bad behavior. So strength is going to come out. It comes out no matter what, but it comes out in upside down ways. It's kind of like any area of life where you've got a virtue or a vice, that it can be a virtue, it can be a vice. And when power is given to somebody, when authority is given to somebody, which in the case of marriage is the authority to lead, as the wife has been given the responsibility to obey and follow, the man will be strong. It's a matter of where that strength is going to come out. So a wife will end up behaving badly in the context of a church and in the context of a marriage. And instead of the husband correcting his wife, obviously, I hope I can say this, obviously, in a loving and Christ-like manner where he brings correction where correction needs to be brought. And instead of doing that and helping his wife to grow in godliness, he will, out of fear of his wife, still show strength. He'll have strength, he'll have power, but it'll be misguided. And we've all seen this, where the husband will begin to defend the bad behavior of his wife, and he'll even make up reasons why he's defending the bad behavior of his wife. He'll throw friends under the bus, he'll throw his pastor under the bus, he'll throw the church under the bus, and do it all in the name of some kind of made-up reason. But the real reason that he's doing this is because he's terrified to fight for his wife, fight for her holiness. He's terrified to correct his wife. So he digs his heels in. And what he ends up doing is he'll start behaving like his actions are out of left field. And everybody that's known him, everybody that's known the man is kind of looking around thinking, what in the world? What is happening here? Like, where did this come from? And all of a sudden, there'll be made up reasons for why he's angry or upset or concerned or whatever the thing may be. But the reality is, the real story is fear to correct his wife. This is weak men and bad behaving wives. What is the answer to this sort of thing? What is the answer to this really in all of life where you have misguided strength, where the man who's been given and bestowed this power uses it to defend bad behavior? What's the answer to that? Well, I think just like in any other area of life, strength and courage that God has given us and calls us up to is required. Strength and courage. What does it look like then for a man who is weak and a woman who is overpowering or behaving badly? What does that path forward look like? And here's the thing, and this is what's scary. The man that's in that situation sometimes has legitimate fear, because for him to do what's required, he realizes that most likely, unless God shows up and does something, his wife is going to behave even worse. And this is what's so critical in marriage, that men and women understand their role even before they're married. They have to understand what their responsibilities before the Lord are. And if you're out there looking for a wife one day, if you're out there looking for a husband one day, ladies, you got to make sure that that man and that woman is committed to biblical godliness in an engendered way. You got to make sure that the man you're going to marry is going to be a leader who's going to be sacrificially living, but he's willing to make hard decisions. He's willing to lead. He's willing to do what God has called him to do. He's the kind of man that Adam was called to be, that ultimately Christ was, that's able to be powerful and strong in the right ways. And then men, as you're considering a wife, if you're considering a woman who's the kind of woman that, you know, maybe wants to keep her father's last name or something like that, who in word only wants her man to lead her, who is offended and has a chip on her shoulder about everything, who doesn't actually want you to lead, you probably should run from that woman. If she is concerned about your behavior being maybe just on small things, maybe being overpowering or if you're not being overbearing, but she's concerned that a decision that you may make is going to be overbearing or has been overbearing because you made a decision about where to go to lunch or something like that. Well, that is a red flag. Now, that's not the end of the story, because God obviously sanctifies both the husband and the wife. But if you're looking for a wife, you want to look for a kind of wife that really takes biblical womanhood seriously. She's not going to let you stomp all over her, which you never would or shouldn't do anyways. But she wants to be the kind of woman that follows your leadership. She's not scared of anything that's frightening, even calling you Lord. Not that she has to walk around and call you, you know, my wife doesn't call me Lord Jared or anything like that. But that whole point with Sarah and Abraham is that she understood biblical authority. She was not scared of hierarchy because she knew it was a God-established way in all of life. But what we've seen, what I've seen over and over again over the years, is that weak men will exercise their power, but if they're scared of their wife, the way they will exercise their power is sever friendships, leave a church, blow up a church, do whatever it takes to defend his wife's bad behavior. And you don't want to be in that kind of situation. And here's the thing. Most men can see through that kind of thing. Most women can see through that kind of thing. You know, it's called, does the wife wear the pants or not? If she wears the pants, then that man is going, he's going to be basically cosplaying power and authority. He's going to be LARPing strength. And that strength, sadly, is going to be exercised in all the wrong ways. So what a man has to do is find out about his wife, how to, in the best way, to correct her when she needs to be corrected. You know, we could say it goes both ways. A wife, as the helper of her husband, has to at times say, honey, you're in the wrong. And men, you have to give your wives, obviously, have a green light to do that. You guys are one flesh. But you can't be so scared of your wife's reaction. And women listening in, you can't be so emotionally fragile that you can't hear your husband come to you and lovingly say, honey, you're behaving really badly in this situation. This is not right. and you need to have some sobriety of mind and self-control. Women can't be so weak as the weaker vessel that they can't handle any leadership from their husband. You can't say, women, that you want your husband to lead, but every time he tries to lead, every time he steps up into that leadership position, you scream or call out a foul. He has to have that green light from you to actually lead. But what happens? Time and time again, weak men and bad behaving wives. So the answer obviously is strong men and strong women doing what God's called you to do, being what God has called you to be. When you're looking for a spouse, look for a man who wants to be a biblical man and a woman who wants to be a biblical woman, who take sanctification commands to the man and to the woman seriously. And that's what I've always said. I've said it time and time again. I've said it once. I've said it 42 times. Every man should want to know all that God has called him to, all that God has prohibited him from, and all the limitations that God has placed upon him. And he should love those things. And every woman should want to know everything that God has called her up to, everything God has prohibited her from, and every limitation that God has put upon her, and love those things. We don't read the Bible through modern lenses and say, that's kind of misogynistic, or that's kind of archaic or outdated. We have to see that it is the modern times that are so twisted and upside down. Don't be the white knight, men. That's what Foster and Non, that's what the term has been coined over the years, the white knight. Don't be the white knight. Be a strong man. And ladies, don't be the kind of fragile woman who can't handle any sort of correction from her husband. Be a godly woman that doesn't have to be or doesn't need to be corrected from her husband. And husband, be the kind of man that doesn't have to have the sort of correction or the guidance from his wife as she's trying to help him be holy. Just be a good man. Be a good woman. And in those occasions that God needs to bring correction to you in your life, well, your spouse is going to have the nearest sight, line of sight to your life, and most likely is going to be the one whom the Holy Spirit brings that sort of correction to you. And men lead, ladies follow, and don't be offended when the Holy Spirit brings that kind of correction. We need strong men and strong women, not weak men and bad behaving wives. Okay. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day.